This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Thank you for listening, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
If you're new to our church, we're in this series, The Psalms of David. And if you really want to take a step up in your prayer life, I want to encourage you to start praying the Psalms of David. Wherever you are in a Bible reading plan, if you aren't in a Bible reading plan, to get on the Bible app or download a printable reading plan. And as you go through the Bible, include the Psalms daily and pray these songs, meant to be sung, great prayers. Today, we're going to be in Psalm 101. So if you have your Bibles and want to turn there, or you can pull that up on the app. We're going to be talking about our homes and our nation, and this is Veterans Weekend, and so to start our time together here and across campus, if you served in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, and Amy's grandfather would always say, don't forget the Merchant Marines, and if you served in any of those, would you stand so we can give honor to where honor is due today? Thank you for serving. There's always a vet. Space Force, that's one we got to get into. And Space Force, I'm sure they stood. Hey, thank you for serving. I just want you to know there's not a city in the nation you can be at a better place right now than Branson, Missouri. And we're glad you're here and look forward to celebrating you all this weekend and into Veterans Day. So thank you for serving. Hot off the presses, I got a 2026 Rand McNally Road Atlas. You know how hard it is to find one of these things? Let me explain to the young people on the front row. These are maps of every state in the United States. And now I want to ask, so north, south, east, what? Why? Just stick, let's go with the illustration before you hijack the whole morning. So north, south, east, or west? How many of you right now, where you're sitting, can tell me which direction you're facing? Would you raise your hand? Look around at these human compasses. That's amazing to me. You know what direction you're facing? How many of you need to be outside with the sun? That's me. How many of you say, it doesn't matter, I have no idea which direction I'm facing? Look around the room. I was on the phone with an insurance adjuster a couple of weeks ago. After that accident in Minnesota, and he said, Ted, when you pulled out of the church parking lot, did you head north or south on 20th Avenue? I said, well, let me ask you a question. If you turned right out of the church parking lot, what direction would you be headed? He said, south. I said, exactly. That's the direction I was headed. Some of you are like, this guy's as dumb as a box of rocks. Should I be listening to him for my life's direction? Anyway, listen, after I explain this, young punk. After I explain this, trust me, you're going to leave your iPad at home on your next trip to Florida, because this is going to give you hours and hours of fun. Before we had Apple Maps, before we had MapQuest, and there are senior adults in Branson this week who had someone fax directions from MapQuest to them. But before all of that, we had this atlas, and it entertained us for hours and hours on family trips as we went down the highway. And Amy, and I'm going to give this to Chloe because you've never had an atlas. Just stay seated, Chloe. I'm going to give that to you. Leave that iPad at home. Should have given that to you before you went to Florida a couple weeks ago. So my wife's grandfather was a farmer most of his life, Owatonna, Minnesota. When he retired, he went to work for the Minnesota Department of Transportation. And he took care of the rest stops. You know what a rest stop is? Have you been to a rest stop? Okay. He took care of the rest stops but just south of the cities down to the Iowa border. And, you know, I love asking people, whatever your job is, give me the funniest story, the best story, what do you got for me? And he said once he walked into the rest area and he saw these two senior adults, this adult couple, looking at the map. They used to put these maps up on the wall so you could find out where you were. You are here. And he says, Owatonna, Minnesota, they're looking at this map, having a conversation. They looked a little confused, so Roland stopped by and said, hey, how y'all doing? Good. Where are you from? Western Iowa. Where are you headed? They're on Highway 35. Where are you headed? They said, Texas. See, I got to explain to these people here what that means. An atlas would help you understand that. When they got to Des Moines, they went left instead of right and just kept on going because they didn't have Apple Maps saying reroute, 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 reroute. They ended up a state away. They could have been in Oklahoma, but they were in Minnesota. I hope they went on to Duluth and just had a great time. And here's all, I want to know I'm headed in the right direction. Now, I've had times where I've been maybe a mile or two off course, maybe a block or two off, and I turn around. I've never been a state in the wrong direction. Anybody here ever been a state in the wrong direction? You have? And you're young. Yeah. You had Apple Maps, and you still ended up in Minnesota. Anyway. And I always think about, we say, the term we'll often use is, am I in the will of God? I want to know I'm living my life in the will of God. I want to know I'm pleasing him, following after his heart, going in the right direction. And here's good news for many of you here today. You are not going in the right direction, and your state's away. Here's the good news. Ecclesiastes 9:4 says, anyone who's among the living has hope. And today, you can turn around wherever you are in your journey and turn toward Christ and find hope and grace and freedom and forgiveness, and you can change. But we all want to know we're headed in the right direction. I'm going to show you a picture right now. And I don't know why I got onto so many, it's transportation-themed illustrations this week, but it's where I was at, maybe sitting in traffic in Branson. Whew, it was heavy this week. And let's fix a bridge while we're, anyway, let's say, no, just don't even, nope, I'm not even doing it, not even going to do it. Timing. I want to show a picture, and before I show this picture, what I want you to do is you're going to see a problem. And in the first gathering, all sorts of answers threw up. But over at the chapel, do this out in the lobby. I want you to yell out what the real problem is with this picture right here. Okay, I heard it. You heard some crazy things. One guy, ball joint. Okay, just stay. Alignment. You can get new tires, and you're going to be right back here in a little bit if you don't get an alignment. And here's where we're headed today in Psalm 101. I have had so much joy in studying Psalm 101 this week. And here's what the question we're going to be answering. How do I know I'm headed in the right direction and aligned with God's heart, word, and values? David, a man after God's own heart, was aligned with God's heart, character, will, and word. How do I make sure in my life I'm headed in the right direction and aligned? I want to know I'm going in the right direction and pleasing the Lord with my life. So let's jump into Psalm 101, verses 1 and 2. We spend a lot of time on just the first half of verse 1. Now remember, he's going to sing. These were written to be sung. We can read them as prayers as well. But he says, I will sing of your love and justice to you, Lord. I will sing a praise. This is God's character, love and justice. And in this church, I had this conversation twice already this morning. There are those who speak of God's love, and this is what we should be focused on and we should be known for, but then they downplay justice. What is love? We know God's love toward us is boundless, but his justice means he is going to hold you accountable. His justice is that the wicked in the land will ultimately be held accountable. So if you focus on love and downplay justice, you end up tolerating sin and wickedness and evil. But then there are those who are like the justice of God, the wrath of God, and they don't lean and they downplay on the love. And this is when you can become cruel and demanding. He here is praising love and justice that come from God. And this is key because you're going to see this thread throughout this whole. It starts with him, then his home, his court, the city, and the nation. But it starts with taking personal responsibility with making sure David is aligned. His heart is aligned with God's heart. And he wants to rule the kingdom in the same way God rules, love and justice. Verse 2, I will be careful, he says, to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? I will conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. This is, in effect, David saying he will remove wickedness from his life, from his home, from his court, from the capital city of Jerusalem, and from the nation. God rules with love and justice, and David is saying, I am going to do the same. Now, what you're going to get in Psalm 101 is him removing wickedness from the land. He's saying, there'll be no place for wickedness in my kingdom. There'll be no one serving in leadership positions in the kingdom with a wicked, evil heart. I want those who serve this nation and those who serve in this city to be aligned with God's heart. I will conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. And I know we live in a day, I ruin almost every morning for Amy because she does quiet time before I even get up, and then I get up and read and study, but then I'm the first to turn on the news, which just takes her day right down. She's like, oh, don't turn that on too soon. And she says, Siri's like, I won't even tell you what it just asked me. But what she's saying, she says, man, when I think about all that's going on in the world, I know I need to be aware, and I know I have a responsibility as a citizen of the United States of America. I know I have a responsibility, but when it comes to my home, this is pretty much all I can handle throughout the day. And I sometimes burden myself. So here's what I want to tell you. Before you get fired up over who's leading in the White House, be sure you're leading in your house. Make sure you and the affairs of your home are aligned with God's heart, God's character, his will, and his values. Before you cry out for major changes in our city, nation, and world, which we should, we have responsibilities there as citizens. It doesn't start there, though. It starts in your home, and that's where he starts with this psalm. And the question for us, is God reigning in your home? Is he ruling in your life? Deuteronomy 6 says, verses 4 through 7, we share them often as a church, but it says whatever we're going to put onto the hearts of our children, it starts with our hearts. It starts, and David says this clearly, I want to lead a blameless life, and then I want to conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. See, on the throne of your heart and home, Psalm 101, verse 3, I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. Now, if you have the English Standard Version, it translates that as worthless, which works. Okay, but I was reading some devotionals this week on Psalm 101, and I get it, trying to apply it to our daily lives and more of a devotional reading, but some of the devotions were what he's talking about here is don't let anything distract you from following God. And the word vile is stronger than distraction. Even though that can apply, the word vile means worthless and wicked. He's saying, I will not have anything to do with anything that is worthless and wicked. I'm not even going to look upon it, but then here's the key. I hate what faithless people do. I will have no part in it. So, and I've loved this language a mentor of mine has been using with me. He says, if you want to head in the right direction and you want to know you're going in the right direction, you have to make some pre-decisions. Like you have to decide now, long before you even get in the car. You have to decide, what are you going to align your life with? What are you going to be all about? And this includes, and you're going to see this in Psalm 101, this includes the people you hang out with, the company you keep. He's saying, I even have to choose now. Young people, please hear this as we read through this. You will only go as far in life as the people you hang out with. And some of you need to dump your friends. Some of you have some terrible influence, and you're going, but I feel like I could really be a good influence on them. How's that working for you thus far? Are you headed in the right direction with them? Are they on the same path with you? Because David is going to say, if they're not on the same path with me, headed in the direction I'm heading, they're just going to take me off course, and I won't have it. You have to decide. And as a family, you have to decide what you stand for. So I've just been thinking all week about this idea of alignment. Right? Because businesses, many of you have businesses. That's all businesses, you know, you need to be aligned. You have, you know, core values or a mission statement for what your company is all about. And your employees, staff, team members have to align with that or it doesn't work. Like, if you can't say with sincerity, my pleasure, you're probably not going to make it at Chick-fil-A. You have to align with that if you're going to work there. sports teams. It's the same thing. 11 players on the field today, and if one decides not to be aligned with the play that was just called, it all falls apart. So teams need to be aligned. Churches need alignment. Churches need to be aligned, and this is why we say there's essentials, there's non-essentials. This is what we're aligned with. I'm in, you know, churches speaking throughout the year, and every year one or two pastors will say something similar to this when I'll go in and I'll ask them, hey, are there any topics I need to steer clear of? Anything going on in the church I don't know about? Any jokes you don't want me to tell? And several times pastors will say to me, hey, Ted, just keep the ball in the middle of the fairway, because they know my golf game. And they know oftentimes I go over here and I go over there. Often my preaching sometimes, woo, Ted, keep it. And what's the middle of the fairway? Keep it about the cross of Jesus. Stay focused on the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. Marriages need alignment. That's all marriage counseling and coaching is. Couples no longer on mission together. They're no longer aligned around what they said at the beginning they believed and what they would do for one another. And so all counseling and coaching, that's why I believe in solution-focused coaching. It's telling them, hey, the solution is here with the two of you. I'm not going to tell you what to do. We're going to discover your strengths and weaknesses and the resources that you have, and we're going to bring that together to get you to align and back on the same team. And families need alignment as well. You take a vacation, and you got a plan, and one knucklehead family member decides to go in a different direction, and it just takes everything off course. So there's alignment. And I want to talk about that for just a moment with families, because that's where we're starting in Psalm 101. David says, I want to lead with a blameless heart, and I want the affairs of my house. I want wickedness far from it. So what can you do as a family to be sure you're aligned as a family? What do you align your family around? Joshua put it this way, and this is true for me, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I just want to remind mom and dad, and grandma and grandpa for that matter, You look what's going on in the world. I vote, I pray, I do all the things I'm supposed to do. But at the same time, I can look and go, man, I just don't have really any influence on making major decisions, you know, nationally or even statewide or even locally. But let me tell you where I have great influence, and that's my home. You have great influence. And I want to remind mom and dad today, you are the primary author of your child's heart. You are the primary author. What's on your heart will eventually find its way onto the hearts of your children. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6. So I want to give you a real simple. It's going to be fast. You're not going to be able to write it down for anybody that takes notes, so you may want to take a picture. But when we started having our kids over 20 years ago, Gary Smalley, an elder at our church, said, you need a family constitution. This is where you get alignment as a family. If you have a business or a ministry, you know this is true. This is what we stand for. This is what we believe, and everyone has to align around this. Families need the same thing. This is who we're going to be, so that when we say, what do the Cunninghams believe? What do the Smiths believe? What do the Raiders believe? What are the you know, Bronners believe? What do you believe, and what are we standing for? And so we started writing it down. We have 10 points. Our kids are grown now, so we don't have family meetings with it, but one day when grandkids arrive, I look forward to saying, this is part of your family heritage and legacy. Here's the first five on our family constitution, taking seriously my responsibility to be an influence in the life of my children. Number one at the top of the constitution is we will love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, there is a God, there is only one God. Four truths we wanted our kids to get. There is a God. There's only one God. He is the Lord, and he is our Lord. Verse 5, love the Lord. So this was a decision each of us had to make individually as part of our salvation, that we stand true on this. Number two, we will read and memorize Scripture together. It's a big part of our children's ministry here. So we want families to open the Scripture together, to read together, to find Scripture passages, to memorize. You're like, where do we start with memorizing? I tell families, memorize Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Teach your kids that every word you speak and every action you take, it flows out of your heart, and this family is going to constantly be talking about your heart. Mom and dad, don't obsess over the behavior of your children. Obsess over the hearts of your children, because that's where all the behavior comes from. We will pray together every day. This is a big one for us. We prayed at mealtime. We prayed before bed. We prayed when they left the car. They knew from the time we got up in the morning to the time we went to sleep at night, as we walked along the way and as we sat at home, we were going to have times of prayer. This is a big one. If you knew Gary, his thing was honor. We will speak words of high honor over each other every day. The world's throwing plenty at us. When you come into this home, there is no name calling. There is no tearing people down. We're going to call out the value that is in you because you are an image bearer of Almighty God. And we're going to remind you of that value every single day. I love number five. We used to ask our kids, do we allow mistakes in the Cunningham home? Yes, we do. What do we try to avoid at all costs? Making the same mistake over and over again. That's a dog returning to its vomit. We don't want to do that. So we will offer grace for mistakes and avoid repeating the same mistake over again. 6 through 10, came up with this long before you heard the name Dave Ramsey. We will work hard, give generously, save wisely, and spend sensibly, in that order. And I just want to remind you, where did I get some? Listen, that comes from a guy named Ron Cunningham, who taught me how to tithe. I tithe at 51 years old. That's on my heart because it's on my parents' heart. This is how family discipleship works, aligning our family, the affairs of your household. We will serve, support, we will love, support, and serve our church. If you want kids who love Jesus and serve the church, then you serve the church. Let them see mom and dad serving the church. Probably the greatest joy in my life right now is 2 adult children and a son-in-law who serve this church. I want that for them, but I want them to see Amy and I passionate about it, not running the church down when I pull out of the parking lot. We will take 100% personal responsibility for our emotions, words, and actions. I would come in the family room, what's going on? Well, she started it. Well, he licked me first. Okay, listen. Who's responsible for your heart? I am responsible. How much are you responsible for your heart? I'm 100% responsible. How much is your sister responsible? She's 0% responsible. Yeah. You are 100% personally responsible for your heart. Number 9, let's say amen to this one. We will live in the moment, not on technology. Rand McNally, Chloe, you're hearing it. She's writing it down, right? And when you get bored with Rand McNally, dude, look for license plates. I can keep you occupied for 12 hours down the road. But we have things happen in our home, and we used to be like, oh, we should probably record that. We should probably take a picture and say, no, how about this is just for us? Nobody needs to know what just happened. That's going to be a moment for our family. And then a big one, as you can imagine for me, we will laugh together every day. We wanted joy to mark our home. And so I tried raising comedians, and it stuck with a lot of them. Verse 4, the perverse of heart shall be far from me. I will have nothing to do with what is evil. The company you keep determines a lot of this. And then he's going to give us 3 examples. David calls out 3 very specific practices of wicked people. So we're not left guessing. Wickedness, what's he talking about with wickedness? And he's going to call out slander, arrogance, and deception. As we read this, let me just ask, is it too much for us to ask for our local, state, and national leaders to be honoring? Is it too much to ask for them to be humble? Is it too much for us to ask for them to be truth tellers? I tell you, it's not, because David says, I don't want anybody who's a slanderer, a gossip, an arrogant, proud person, or a liar. They have no, and I don't know if you've ever known a lying, arrogant politician, but I've known some. I was watching an interview the other night, and Amy was watching it with me, and the lady was asking the question of this politician, did you hear what so-and-so called you? And I'm like, is that where we're at? I'm wasting my time. What are we, 6? Like, what is with all the name calling? He's going to be real clear. He says, whoever slanders their neighbor in secret, I will put to silence. They'll have no place in my court or in my city. They won't be leading. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, I'm not going to tolerate that. We saw it this week with politicians speaking wicked political platforms and then tagging their speech with, I'm proud of this. And I'm one guy that I want my home to be aligned with God. I want to live in a nation aligned with God's heart. And I'm hearing today, and I know from friends and peers and those people I lead going, you can't want that, then you're a Christian national. That I want godly leaders, I'm never going to shy away from that. I don't want liars. I don't want slanderers. I don't want gossips. I don't want arrogant people leading me. And David says, neither, ain't going to happen here. I'm moving them out. They won't. They got real quiet. My eyes will be on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. The one whose walk is blameless will minister to me. In other words, I need to be around people who are teaching me, modeling for me, influencing me toward righteousness, toward love and justice as God reigns. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. Slander here, speaking falsely to harm a person's reputation. Proverbs 20 and verse 19 says, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. Arrogance, that haughty eyes, looking down your nose at someone, thinking you're better than them. If you have a politician that's like that, they can be of no help. Why? Because the job of our leaders is to leverage their authority and influence for the blessing and benefit of other people. That's what it means to be a leader. And he says you can't do that with haughty eyes and a proud heart. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. David is saying, I can't be around that person and rule with love and justice. Deception, deceiving others by, tell me if you haven't seen this in politics lately, twisting the truth, telling half-truths, covering up the truth. Proverbs 12, 22, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. And then the last verse of Psalm 101. Every morning I will put to silence all the wicked in the land. I will cut off every evildoer from the city of the Lord. Now, some of you may have in the footnotes of your Bible that, and or a commentary that you have will say cut off could possibly mean capital punishment. But most commentaries are in agreement that this is speaking directly of there is no place of service for these people in my kingdom, period. And I want to end today in a different way. I heard Chuck Swindoll pray this prayer years ago. And it's a prayer from 2007. I usually don't recite prayers as we end services, but I've added to it and personalized it for myself. I've been praying it this week, and I'm going to invite everyone across campus, at home watching, in your family room or in your kitchen, whatever, I'm going to invite all of us to stand. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads with me, close your eyes. I'm going to pray this prayer on behalf of myself, my home, my city, my state, and my nation. Almighty God, we pause to reflect on your character as we seek wisdom for such a time as this. You are the creator and sustainer of all life. The psalmist declares that the earth is yours and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. We know you rule with love and justice. Help us as parents steward our influence in the home as the primary authors of our children's hearts, guiding them in your ways. In these unsafe days, you remain all-powerful and able to protect. We seek your guidance. In these uncertain times, you remain all-knowing, so lead us aright. In the unprecedented events we're facing, you remain absolutely sovereign. Our times are in your hands. Therefore, our dependence on you is total, not partial. Our need for your forgiveness is constant. Thank you for your boundless, unconditional love for us. Our gratitude for your grace is profound. Our love for you is deep. We ask that you guard and guide our president, congressional leaders, the Senate, our governors, state legislatures, mayors, aldermen, city officials, first responders, school board members, administrators, and teachers. May they guide us with uncompromising integrity, keeping the wicked far from them. May the truth and their uncompromising integrity mark their lives and the way they lead. We also ask that you unite us as truly one nation under God. May genuine humility return to our ranks and to our leaders. And may that blend of integrity and humility heal our land. And it's in the name of Jesus that everyone agreed and said, amen. Love you, church. I hope you have a great week. Thank you, veterans. We'll see you next Sunday.